Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Whew. Ladies and gentlemen, now with these rides out here in the capital city, they are oh so amazing. So ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with our conversation of yesterday. But before that, let's take a quick break so that Auntie can catch her breath because vele. The running.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ripurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijewa ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Pogora okuhinga wa riko hiyodungo, peha joku hinga uriko hiyodungo. Pogora okuhinga ondapo jiyuthwa, peha joku hinga ondapo ya pitirira. Pogora okuta agurukira po mata agurukiro, peha joku pita o warasha ampoka. Pogora ishewe okurundura o mata era we, peha juu kukutu. Pogora okuninga shukasho mojira mo patevetu, eto kupita o mwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth 1,000 Namibian dollars, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 24442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Alrighty, good evening to you. So ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with our conversation of yesterday. And our conversation is about how would you know if you had finally moved on? How would you know if you, because in most cases, right? I feel like I'm very high pitched today. Hi, good evening. So in most cases, many of us don't really know when we are over something. We don't know when we have crossed the threshold. We don't know when our brains or minds have recalibrated. We don't really know that we have made it through the jungles and the Kunta Kinte's of everything. We don't know. Up until somewhere, somehow, it is identified or it's pointed out, or maybe, just maybe, after a couple of years, we actually realize that, it has been 10 years and I haven't thought about this. It has been how long and I haven't. And in most cases, that is what we say, we have moved on. And moving on is defined, right, by a shallow definition as feeling genuinely happy alone, stopping the urge to look for something or to go and check or to talk about it, or it's basically you don't care anymore about something, right? And you have moved on. And I know that saying I don't care about something is such a strong word. It's such a, it's a big thing, because you're like, oh, but I can't say I don't care, because those are bad manners. Many of us are taught that that's bad manners, but the truth is that we really don't care. Because if I ask you, right, about somebody that you don't really care about, you wouldn't really say that, oh, I don't care about them. You say like, no, it's not that I don't care. It actually means that. But then, before we get that, let's go to the types of partners that we choose and why. It's a TED Talk.
Around 500 years ago, Erasmus told us that prevention was better than cure. Now, that might seem forward thinking, but when blood-sucking leeches are the best cure you've got at your disposal, while you're hanging around waiting for them to work, you've got to start to wonder why this clearly bizarre treatment was needed in the first place. And I'm going to propose that preventing long-term relationship breakdown is as important as preventing serious illness. And I'm going to suggest that the way we see romantic love, and in particular finding the one, is a big part of that problem. So in my 20 years of working with couples, I've come to see a relationship breakdown as being the result of an inability to overcome an emerging mismatch in the relationship. Now, why do I use that word mismatch? Well, it steps around an issue that can otherwise hijack therapy, the question of who is to blame, which of course is the other person. And this approach allows me to then focus on making or remaking the match. But that got me wondering, so when does the mismatch begin? If prevention is the goal, when does the problem take hold? And I found that if I looked back, the majority of the time, I could trace it to before that couple actually even committed, before they married, before they had children. For example, one of the more significant predictors of divorce is how long a couple date before the marriage proposal. In a 2015 US study of 3,100 people, they found that if the couple waited 1 to 2 years, there was a 21% reduced likelihood of divorce compared to if they proposed in less than 12 months. But if you waited 3.5 years, until the infatuation was well and truly over, then the likelihood of divorce was reduced by a massive 48%. So, my daughter, a dating coach, and I wrote a book about how to choose your partner. It was an exhaustive psychological review on how to make an informed decision. When that book came out recently, what everybody wanted to talk about, media and readers alike, was a preference for not choosing the one, but finding them through the admittedly romantic process, but it was a spectacularly passive process of falling in love. Why? Well, my take on it is that we would rather see the process of romantic love bring the one to us, rather than slowing down and evaluating in an informed way whether or not they're a good match for us. when I looked at a deeper level, at a less conscious level, I saw that we really don't want to see it as a decision, because then we have to take responsibility for it. And if it fails, that is a burden of some consequence. When it's a romantic process and it fails, well, it's a shared failure with the universe. A much better deal than having to blame just ourselves. Is your potential partner the one is the wrong question. In fact, I believe that's a question that is more likely to lead to divorce. But before we look at better questions, let's look at what's at stake. Because I would suggest that choosing your lifelong partner is the most consequential decision you will make. Most of us appreciate the pain, emotional and financial, that divorce causes a couple, but it's the impact on the next generation that has my attention. A study of 1,400 people looked at the long-term impact of parental divorce during their childhood when they were followed up at age 32. Now, as you can see, the children from the families where their parents had divorced were more than twice as likely to be divorced themselves or to be unemployed. They were more likely to smoke on a daily basis and drink alcohol to excess. They were much less likely to complete a university degree, with daughters a staggering 58% less likely to do so. And girls, apparently more vulnerable to parental marital breakdown than boys, were more likely to suffer from a range of psychological problems. It is said that alcoholism is not a spectator sport. Eventually the whole family has to play. And the damage from a parental relationship breakdown is equally impossible to limit to just the parents. And this is why having children is a big complication and a much bigger commitment than getting married. So, how am I defining marriage? Well, I would see it as any relationship entered into by two people on the basis that will be long-term and is recognised either legally or in common law. But for the record, I believe any two people of any persuasion, of either gender or of no gender, who wish to spend their life together should be legally able to do so throughout the world. But for the purposes of this talk, we're going to be looking at legal marriages, because they're the ones more readily identified by researchers. Now, that definition, of course, includes arranged marriages. For those of us who've grown up with love marriages and romantic love, we see that as the normal way of things. I think I can predict that most of you here had parents who chose each other on the basis of romantic love. I think I can more confidently predict that you're probably not going to get those very same parents to choose your marital partner, a partner who you might meet for the first time on the day of your marriage, unless, of course, they're producers of reality TV shows. But despite our sense that a love marriage is the norm, by a slight majority, from a global perspective, a marriage today is more likely to be arranged than not. Moreover, for 95% of recorded history, arranged marriages have been the norm for the entire planet. Until then, romantic love only accidentally overlapped with marriage. Now, arranged marriages take many forms. And to be clear, I'm not talking here about forced marriages, child marriages. These are a violation of human rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that individuals should be 18 years old before they enter marriage and do so freely with full consent. But the reason that brought that declaration into being leaves many of us feeling that arranged marriages are old and irrelevant. At least I did, until I came across some rather compelling research. Now I'm going to suggest that if we dismiss arranged marriages without considering what I call the modern arranged marriage, then we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I asked a Pakistani man that I interviewed for my research how he felt about potentially a matchmaker, his mother, his aunts, his prospect's mother, her aunts, all choosing his marital partner. He said, well, of course all these people should choose my partner. They know much more than I do of such things. I'm only 35 years old. What he was talking about was tapping into a time-honoured collective wisdom.
Time-honoured collective wisdom. Good evening.
Good evening, Mama. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful. How have you been?
I've been okay.
Okay.
Just a little bit of fatigue.
Fatigue? Really?
Yes.
Only,
apart from that, I'm good. Oh. Unless you.
Ah, no, me, I'm fine. Show me, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
God, didn't I?
Dinarera,
go to the comen.
What's cooking? What's on the table?
We are talking about how will you know when you have finally let it go, when you have finally let the relationship go.
How will you know?
Kucha ai, she mashaki na ina shoka.
Oh, no, you, for starters, mm-hmm. Should I just start?
Mwangura.
Okay.
Mwangura, Carol.
Sherry.
Ah, pamwati kuro kile. Ha, ha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For starters, yeah. When you let go with, when you really know that you have let go, you, it comes with a peace of mind.
Mm.
And somewhere, somehow, you even start thinking about certain events that happened in your relationship, in your past relationship.
Yeah.
That means you have really let go. Even if you have seen the person maybe in town or somewhere else, just a normal person to you, like this, you wouldn't even recall that. Ah, okay, you, maybe somewhere in your heart you can say, hey, this guy, he was part of me. You know, most he was part of me, but
yeah,
all, it's like a stranger to you now. That can be also a sign of how you know that you have let go of a person.
Yeah.
And number two, it also allow you, when you have let go, it gives you space for others. If you can accommodate the next person in your life.
Yeah.
Making comparison, kucha. If a guy is proposing, no, I went through that and that. You don't have to explain your past relationship if you have really no. Just give the person with open heart.
But what if you are pretending?
Pretending.
Because you never know when you're pretending. So what if you're pretending? How will you know that you are pretending?
No, you know, as a person, you know.
You cannot tell me I will know, man.
Okay, then
what? I'll not know.
Okay, check. Then why do certain people say, I cannot accept you, either female or male, I cannot accept you because I was hurt from my past relationship. I didn't heal. I don't want to bleed on you. Then why do
those are good people, Aina. Those are good people. Even you yourself, you know that one. That is a good person. The rest of us, we just go and bleed on them. Ha! Bleed on them. Others, me also. Nangai kanda indishish no. Shike. I was going to be somebody's punching bag.
Mara.
Mara, again.
Mara, but you know.
I will not know.
Okay, some people.
And I were in a relationship the other day, now. And then you went to dump the guy after we had a conversation. Why?
No, don't
because
take me
you
back
because to... you didn't know that you don't like him.
Come
on. No, it's not about taking you back, huh? It's just being realistic here. We are really talking like real talk, big girl talk. It is what it is. Like
okay.
We had to point it out, like, girl, I don't, like, yeah, I haven't seen him in 6 months. Like, Okay, I can't. I'm busy, Moss. Sister, I'm busy. Eh? That is the line that we tell people we don't want to see. I'm busy. Eh? Can't you see? And Oshoneku, not a degree. So nemo you na min menda mo kai ushi kuchini manji mizi wano. How will you know? How will you know if you apparently how will you know you're not pretending? Because sometimes, right? Sometimes you are so lonely, and sometimes you want company, and you mistaken that loneliness and that wanting company for I'm healed and I can handle it. And then you go into a new relationship and all you are doing is basically just pretending that you, maybe you're even getting benefits in this relationship. Maybe you're just there for the airtime, the conversation, maybe pata pata. Yeah. How will you know now? Show me.
Is it beneficial? I know.
I'm not beneficial. Even use the big correct word. Hold the line, my baby. Hold the line.
If you lost your show, all of that is good to go. Oma wa o tomono okutako NHP. Genge wa longifai longifoli lipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa washimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika we delwa komto alando lako. Kashi koma punglo e na shano njolo welewe. Otodulo okulongifa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omaya kulo olu hapu, hakala ina kwa telwa, mouwa we kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, otojulu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwe didonumba, tokala inofuta ea kulolo elu unamiti. Kowya lele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngo noma landola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind, NHP, we're about you.
What's up? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the matriarch and her beloved, Aina. What are you saying, my savage?
No, with that the relationship that is beneficial, actually sometimes that one sometimes you cannot really know because maybe you are in for it.
But then with beneficial, my love, anything can be beneficial. It just depends on what you want. It's just the same as every single person in this world has a price.
It depends. Every person in this world has a price.
Has a price, yeah. There are certain things that you think that you will not do until the correct person with the correct price comes and tells you to do these things and you do it.
Yes, very right.
Everybody is capable of prostitution. Everybody is capable of corruption. Everybody is capable of murder. Everybody is capable of abortion. Everybody is capable of everything. It just depends on the price. So it depends now when we say benefits, right? Sometimes you are in an era, for example, with you now. You graduate, you get your job, you get your money, and you are stable. And you get a job at one of the highest paying places. Eh? That means the cash money is flowing the way you want it to flow. You don't have a child, you don't have accounts, you don't have responsibilities like that. You understand? And you are in a position of furnishing your house, right? In cash. in cash, Ikemanga, where you don't need to make an account because for the whole year, you decided that you're going to save because there's nothing tashikunana. You understand? And you pay for all of that and you are sorted, right? And there's nothing that anybody can offer you. What else? What else can anybody offer you? The only thing you can't give yourself is love and pata pata.
Yes.
So that is where you can find, ne? Yeah. Madame is looking and smelling like money. But when you see the person she's in a relationship with, the guy is playing Xbox or PlayStation at home. Apparently he's looking for a job, what, and she's paying all the bills. Because she didn't need his money. What she needed was his time, his effort, his love. Even if it doesn't actually, even if it's not actually love, but it's just packaged like love.
Yeah.
So how will you know? I don't know how I will know.
Yes, I want to answer that.
Yeah. I will not know. I will not know if I'm using somebody's child or not.
Yeah. But
me, the conclusion that I have in all honesty, is that we are all using each other, man. It's only that some things are accepted by society and other things are not accepted by society. But truly, there is no such thing as unconditional love. We all love each other conditionally.
Mm.
Yeah.
But okay. But somehow, if you as a female, after the relationship that you were in didn't work out for you. And then somehow you have been on a healing journey. You talked about it, or maybe you went through rehab and whatnot.
Yeah, right? You did the work.
Yes. And can you not really say I've let go of a person?
You can. You can say that you've let go of the person, and that's why we are bringing up these types of conversations, right? So that we can put everything on the table. Like for one, how you know that you have let go is somebody can talk about this person and you are not angry, you are not bitter, you are nothing like that.
You just feel nothing. But you can say that that person was part of me.
Yeah, right? No, that the person was part of. Were they really part of you?
They were part of you because.
How were they? Then how many parts did you lose, Chomi?
No, nothing.
And with all these people that are walking around with parts of us. Our parts are everywhere in Belgium and at the top of Arambela. That's part of me. Me, no one was part of me. Only my children were part of me. No one.
But you can still tell a story, right? A good story about that person.
Like what?
Just anything good.
Like
once upon a time,
Ngeshi.
You were
and, like yeah, what? Like what?
Like that.
Even you now, you cannot even think of a nice thing to say. That's why we're saying, hypothetically, maybe. Geshinga pamwe, pamwe shike, ey.
But, all in all.
Yes.
Letting go. It comes with a lot of things, but sometimes it's just because katuna kene. Sharing. Yeah, sometimes it's just because katuna kene, you just have to let go. You can.
Some people don't let go, Chomi.
Some they don't let go, but some they really let go for the peace of mind. Because it comes with a lot of things.
Like what?
Just peace of mind. Just even if you can even let another person to come in your life, you can start over. You can. Yes, you can. Letting go, if it's a relationship-wise, yes, No, ma'am, if it's relationship-wise, yes. Is it just, is it right, the relationship-wise, right?
Everything.
Even grieving, even death, even losing someone.
Yeah.
Does it include? I know.
Yeah, letting go is letting go. Letting go is universal, my dear, because the rules apply to everything. Yeah. Okay. Because
the relationship, relationship context. Let me speak for myself. I, for one, I can let go. If I speak about it and if I'm on a healing journey and everything under the sun is just good for me and God is working out for me, I can really let go. But if it's,
what if it's not working out? Because we all like to say that when things go our way, and I feel like we sweep things under the rug when there's a brighter future for us. But what happens when you did nothing wrong and things end and you are stuck in a bad place? We blink.
You blink twice.
blink twice if you're being held captive.
Some things are just difficult. Okay.
It's not too difficult. It's just a matter of us looking at it from the perspective of not just having one direct answer, but having a direct answer that is holistic, that touches base on everything. Because if we are thinking of things from a narrow perspective, right, then we will not be able to apply the concept of moving on into other areas of our lives. So if we're talking about it from a relationship context, and then we are talking about moving on and allowing new people into your life and blah, 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 then how do you apply that in a friendship setting? How do you apply that from a death? How do you apply that from a financial loss? How do you apply that? Because it has to be, the principles must be the same. The principles of letting go or moving on are the same in every single situation.
In every aspect of life.
In every aspect of life, there's nothing that doesn't have the same template. It's one size fits all for all moving on purposes. So in this case, if we are talking about what you said, for example, allowing other people into your life, right? If we are looking at it from the holistic point of view in terms of jobs, in terms of friendships, in terms of what, we would say that allowing yourself to be happy again. And allowing yourself to be happy again would mean that you are now open to things. So even if you lost the job, you are now open. You are going out there and you are applying for new jobs, but you're not applying for new jobs from the perspective of, I'm so hurt that Wara Wara Media left me, or I'm so hurt. No, you are applying for jobs in a sense of, I know my worth and I know what I bring to the table, even though this person didn't want me. And even though I outgrew these shoes, I am still valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
So with that being said, mm-hmm. it also applied to other things, just apart from a relationship wise, friendships wise, just anything under the sun.
Yeah.
As long as to let go.
Yeah, to let go, to move on from something. To let go and move on from something would be you leaving something behind and having done the work that would allow you to move forward. Because you have to heal from it, and you also have to take accountability, and then you also have to look at things in a realistic manner. Because many of us say that the other person was wrong in the relationship. But even if, right? They were wrong. Which part did you have to play in it? Even if the person is the worst person in the world, what part did you have to play in it? And do you see that part? Because that is why we go back into the same patterns. That is why we go back into the same loops all our lives. Have you ever seen somebody dating the same person over and over again in different shades and different colors and different tribes?
Yeah.
But it's one person. It's just that guy that she dated first 10 years ago, ne? She just keeps dating that same guy, but it's in different guys.
Yes, and then sometimes that person is a problem.
And
yes, it's a problem. So she or he doesn't just want to look at things from an adult perspective, just to sit down and say, no, what did I do wrong in this relationship? What part did I play for this person to do that and that?
Or why am I attracting this kind of person? Or why am I dating the same person over and over? What didn't I learn from the first encounter with the original? Because now you're dating clones. So for example, you date a guy that used to drink so much. And he passed out and he's irresponsible and all of that. And then all of the other guys that you got out of after this guy, they're all just the same as that guy. Then it could be that you are the one that is attracting alcoholics. You are the one that is tolerating alcoholics. And up until you realize that you are the one that is choosing people without future prospects out of bars, you will keep dating alcoholics. You will never date a sober man or a man with self-control. You always just date the ones yokukambuka, yokuihatapo, yokuistamena. You will always just date that same guy. Whether he's light-skinned, he's damara, he's nama, he's vambu, he's herero, he's kavango, he will always be an alcoholic. But hold the line.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katatura, next to Bank Ventuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. So we are talking about moving on from certain things, but we have to talk about it from the real sense. Because, for example, in primary school, you had the friends that, this is also a problem that I've also had for a long time. It's not really people pleaser, but I overextend my generosity. So ever since I was a child, right, I'm a natural giver. Like, I'm a natural giver. So I'm the type of children where if I have $100, I'll buy for all of us. And then usually the types of friends that I would have are friends that would have $100 also, but keep quiet. And then, high school, same thing. It was a pattern that I had to break. And then eventually I had to see, okay. So I also have to learn to keep quiet so that somebody else can spend.
They never extend their hands.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Like it wasn't a thing. So I can, so it's, I always assume you don't have. I was naive. I always assume you don't have. Up until I find you at the tuck shop buying your chocolate. And this was something that was bad. And that is something that I also had to like, I'm in that era right now.
You are still in. I thought you have.
Oh, my dear Chomi, it's a very difficult one, that one. No, my dear. Hey!
I thought that you realized.
Jummy! Nando, are realizing? How do you change from being the person that you have been for 35 years overnight to no, I don't want? Like, what? And it's easy for me to say Kandinasha when I don't have. But imagine having.
You'll just give.
Like, yeah. So one of my learning moments this year was we had a family gathering. So we had a family gathering and I was usually the spender. I'm usually the spender, I'm usually the buyer, I'm usually that person. And it's not because I have a lot. It's just because ngikon dishuku lai or something. Or I just don't like kandihore oshike inimayokuinana. Yokunana sana. Like I hate it. It makes me so uncomfortable if we have to argue about money.
Yeah, well, so, you have this.
Like, I would rather, like, let's just be happy. It's like, I'm a peacekeeper. Mm-hmm. Let's just be happy and I'll just buy. And then everybody enjoys. Then we don't have to be fighting and being arguing and, like, yeah, mara pefe o kwatua, you know? So I divided tasks, right? I divided tasks and the tasks was that you guys, the rest of you guys should go and do the duty because I was also not feeling well. So I was sick. You guys go and do the duties and you guys go and, purchase all the food and drinks because we are most all big. We're all big. We're all working. We're all having money. Eh? All right, so you guys go and do that. And what I will do is I will transport us to and from and around. So roughly my budget, right, was roughly like 7 to 8K. And that's just fuel. Fuel, patkos, yeah. The travels. That was my portion. Then everybody else, basically, they had to cover for the food and, because it's a family gathering, right? So, the story came up that I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything and I don't have money. Yeah. And now the person that was talking about it, right? Was now asked, like, okay, but who transported you guys to and from? And mind you that the car that we are using, eh? Full tank on that car is like 3K.
It's a big car, eh?
Okay. It's like those tourist cars. Like the ones with the tents on top and stuff. Mm. Yeah. So it's like 3K. And then that 3K would roughly take us like to what? We have to fuel up in Tumeb again. And then for the road, koma Khrondo, koma Fulurugangwari, we had to top up like another 1,000. So that's like what? Roughly like a 4K, 5K. Mm. Mm. And still going back. And patkos and everything. So from that, I just learned that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm spending or I'm not spending. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anyone. It only matters to me.
Because maybe they fail to recognize your effort.
They fail to recognize my effort and my presence. And even when my effort and my presence is recognized, it's usually recognized when It's recognized shafoka or kaningira mokam gwenga ngange. just to make you feel like it's not because you are really important, it's because you are buying.
Just to make you feel like you're seen also.
Yeah. It's not because you're actually important. It's just because you are the one that's buying our things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not like you matter. It's just that you are buying our things. So we have to be nice to you because you are buying our things. We have to make you feel nice because you are the one that is buying our things. So if you didn't have, you would just be a zero. You wouldn't matter if you didn't have.
Despite having, so your lesson is despite having or despite spending, it doesn't really matter. It's like you have not spent it.
Yeah. Because somebody can complain that you are damaging something, but you're the one that paid for it.
Like you're putting in a lot of cooking oil, but you are the one,
you are the one that bought it. Like, just. Yeah, oh, how to tell you, Jatara Milwa. Like, yo, bro. Jana Pururita. Nombuto. You understand? So it's one of those. So the one lesson that I've learned is that I'm not valued. Regardless of how much I do, I'm not valued. So I must choose if I'm going to do because I want to do it, or I'm not going to do because I don't want to do it. Because either way, I am not valued.
Yeah, this is yours.
So the choice is really mine. So if I'm going to do it, it must not be with expectations that anybody's going to ever do anything for me or for my children. It must just be like, I have extra change. Let me send.
Yeah, something of
that. Yeah. Nature. Like,
Because remember with this, I still remember we had this conversation here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
See, we thank you really enough.
Yeah.
You still remember that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I feel like also sometimes us in life, we want to do certain things because we want to be seen.
Exactly.
Just develop this thing, which I'm just doing for the sake of doing, mm-hmm. not because I want them to recognize me,
yeah.
but I know that I have played a part. I know my role. At least I did something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this, even if they never recognize me or they did.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And that's why, we can put this conversation on the table and also look at why we do things. Do we do things because we want to be recognized, or do we do things because generally, like, it is for assistance, it is for the greater good? Because I know, for example, the things that I buy for my family, for example, it's not for lavish. It's livelihood. It's for livelihood. Ngere, I'm buying a kuturu sirane, like, andira nandiye nenero 600. Because, megumbo muda. It's not even the fanciest one. It's really just for livelihood. And you can ask me 2 months from now about it, and I will not even remember ever buying it. Be like, ne? Oh! I'm like, oh. Because I don't remember. Because for me, it's not a thing where after I did this for you and after I did that for you. But I've noticed that I really just do things like that. For me, it's just, I let it go the minute I give it.
Yes, just like that. Because even for the people that say, no, I just gave you, for example, someone just asked you money. No, matriarch, send me $100 quickly, or maybe help me with $200. And then you have, right? You're in a position of sending, or maybe saying no. You will just send to that person. After 2 days, no, matriarch, this is what happened to me. Kindly please help me. I'm just going through financial constraint and whatnot. You still hope. There is no way you're coming back to the same person saying, no, after doing that and whatnot, not unless you're really expecting something from the person. Sometimes the person just says thank you, and is really thank you enough for you.
It's enough.
These are the things that I think we come it comes, it's something that we come with it from childhood. It doesn't, I don't think it's something that really develops just like that as puberty. No, I think we come from it from childhood. The moment is just part of growing, part of us growing up.
But I also think it's, I also think it's what people do to each other in front of us as youngins, and what we expect from other people that kind of, throw us off or derail us. You understand? Because especially when it comes to friendships and breakups, for example, that thing of everything that I've done for you is an expectation that we have. You expect me to, you don't, okay, for me, I don't expect loyalty. I don't expect loyalty. What I expect from another human being is basic respect for my human life. So I don't expect you to disrespect my efforts in your life. You understand?
So, in all the thing, you do not expect loyalty.
I don't expect loyalty. I don't expect loyalty because people don't owe you loyalty. No one owes you loyalty. Even your shadow leaves you, Chomi.
Because you're a stranger?
No. Because we come from different cloths. Nobody owes you any loyalty.
But
people choose who they are going to be loyal to.
Okay.
They choose. It's a choice. Let just hold the line and then I will come and wrap it up with a very important thing.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, and I'm joined by Aina. Aina, I was saying loyalty. Okay, so the reason that I don't expect loyalty from anyone is because I have seen so many, people count on loyalty and they got burned. Oh, I wish people had more people like me in their lives. I'm a very loyal person.
But since they want in your life, either relationship-wise, it can be friendship, family-wise, you just don't count on loyalty since they want.
No.
Or is it something that you just realize years back?
It is...
exposed.
Yeah, after being exposed, then you see it. But then it used to hurt and now it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt, and that's why I don't expect it from anyone. I don't expect anyone to be loyal to me. I hope that they'll be loyal to me, but it's not an expectation.
It's their choice.
It is their choice to be loyal or not. And I am not the god of anybody's life, and I don't make their choices for their lives. So it's their choice. But I'm a loyal person.
Yes, You, I know. Mm-hmm. You are a woman of your words.
Yeah, I'm loyal. I'm loyal because, for me, mostly everything I do is out of emotional gain. So, for example, if you look at our journey here at Eagle FM, mm-hmm. you have heard of many, many people on this radio. And you have heard they have gone, and you have heard what, you know, like all of that has been there. It's not to say that I've always been happy. But I feel I owe John Walenga loyalty. Because he gave me an opportunity. He saw my potential. And he gave me an opportunity. And for that, I am loyal.
And grateful
for that opportunity. So I would rather, even if I have a complaint here at work, I will talk. I will talk.
Put it out.
I will talk and write paragraphs and come to work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And express what you felt.
Exactly. But I will not go and talk to what radio, who, what outside of Eagle FM about my, I will not.
Or maybe go on social media.
Never.
No.
Just
speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I would rather have that conversation. For me, I would rather have that conversation and complain.
Yeah, I know you because I listen to you a
mm-hmm.
lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even on days that you are not well, even on days that you are okay, you can come on and say like things such as, it's a beautiful Saturday, but it's not a beautiful Saturday for you. I remember a story that you once told, I think a year or 2 years back, that was, I think you lost, no, your best friend lost her mom.
Mm.
I still remember that story. And then you came on air and you talk about it.
Mm.
Just because, not because you felt guilty. I don't know if you said because you felt guilty just because you didn't go. Mm. But you just send your heartfelt and condolences to them.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Beauty.
And there are so many things that we need that you talk, either good, either bad.
Mm. So. Yeah. So I believe that the loyalty that I have, I hope that one day my circle will be full of people that are as loyal as I am also. But even in the event that they are not, I understand.
Okay.
So even if you guys go and find another mother, I'll be like, it's okay.
Okay, it's life.
But it's, I don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I've also seen a lot of betrayal. I've seen a lot of people leave.
Just like that, no question asked, nothing.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people leave. I've cried over people. But the one thing that I know about myself is that I'm good people. I'm good. I'm genuinely good. Even if I have to tell it myself, it's something I know about myself. I am good people.
Yes, you are, mom.
Yeah. So that is why the world comes back and rewards me. There's no one that ever leaves my life and doesn't want to come back. Never. Never.
Even me, here and then, on days that, I feel lonely, I miss mom.
I'm talking about full breakup, full on. Forever. Mm-hmm. I've never had a situation like that where somebody doesn't come back into my life. Mm-hmm. Because, I always ask the question, if I'm so bad, why are you coming back to apologize?
But
loyalty is a choice.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody owes you loyalty. Not even the partner that you are with. No one owes you anything. In this world, no one owes you anything. You are not above betrayal. You're not above stabbing in the back. You are not above disease. You're not above nothing in this world. Which I know, somebody would never. How? Shanyenga non tu. Acha till death do us part ndete kwe teraro edi samonte ya umwe. Monte ya kwa tsaike straight. Esi shara na wakucha ha. Kuyo kwa testing wa. Doshi mo shambunya and they will steal.
People versus people.
Yeah.
It's like we are all human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I just wish that. We are all capable. It just depends on the price. All of us are capable of bad things.
But above all, when it comes to let it go, the principle applies in every situation. If I can use the same principle in losing someone, I can also use the same principle in friendship-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. You use it in every sense. And when you find it in every sense, you can be like, oh, okay. Okay. Oshongei. Oh, okay.
But, no, I have a query.
Mm-hmm.
But if that principle doesn't change in every aspect of life,
mm-hmm.
If I can use the same principle in friendship, mm-hmm. relationship, mm-hmm. wife, mm-hmm. then I still use the same principle in losing someone.
Mm-hmm. The foundation is the same, huh?
It can be the same, but how do I let go of someone that I never thought of dying?
Look at it
here
like
that. Check. Here and then memory keeps hitting you up, right?
Yes.
Even after you.
Yes.
So, as even after grieving.
But grieving is something that takes, you don't know when it's over, but when it's over, it's over.
Just like that.
Yes. When last did I talk about my father? A theory, Ponga. Chummy?
Okay, check, but it's been
a how? No.
They keep hitting you up, right?
And does what?
And does nothing. Is this
exactly. Does nothing. Just like your ex passes your mind and does what? Nothing. people like to romanticize, ne? Things because it seems unorthodox for us to speak about them out loud. But the truth is that we let go of dead people also. We move on.
No, I remember. I'm sorry. I remember one of my friends, one of my colleagues. I think she was telling another girl, I don't know better, she posted to my, and then she just said, oh, I don't go kata timburu kwaranti after that.
And the other one was touched. The other one was touched because she's not over it, Moss. Mara, if she was over it, we would not see that that post of that person that's dead.
So, okay. If I can be over it, maybe, no. I can be over it in a sense that I don't talk about it anymore.
Chomi, posting dead people, ne?
No.
And posting, listen to this. Posting dead people and posting alive people, ne? They are completely different things. Do you know why we can post dead people? Because they are dead. We cannot post our ex-boyfriends because they are now somebody else's boyfriend.
They're alive.
But if they were dead, can't you see? Even these people that died that other year in Okaanja that were having many, many girlfriends. All their girlfriends, they are still posting them. Even though they know Kuchaweli Mueli Atano or Nyankwao. Because he's dead. But when he was alive, no one was posting him. How? Because when he is alive, he can tell you Kucha Ojan Pano. Morashiketo postanj. I already told you I have a girlfriend. Why are you posting me? Now that I'm dead, nobody can come and bluffer you nicely. Now you can even lie, love of my life. We are gonna grow old and have babies together. And how are you guys gonna grow old and have babies together if the guy was basically engaged? Bro. It's because when somebody is dead, we can create an illusion of what life is. We can create the illusion of how this person was towards us. The truth is that, right? Between both my dads, if I had to be completely honest now that we are speaking transparently, if there's anybody that I should be posting, it should be my stepdad, not my biological father. No, because he didn't like me as much as my stepfather liked me. How? The man was in the hospital and he was having his cell phone. And he called his family members there and I was not called.
But you have a child.
But I am his child. Acceptance. Me, I found out that he's in the hospital when he was at the mortuary. Kanti, he stayed there for one whole week with his cell phone.
He didn't even call you when he was...
He did not, Chomi. At least my stepfather even asked to speak to me that day. But now, since he's dead... He cannot must tell me, Kucha, hey, I don't really even like you that much as my child. Eh? So now I can post him and he's not going to bluffer me about posting him because he's dead. I can create the illusion that I had a father that I miss and I love.
Can you really tell that you have healed from grief and it's the same phrase of life that you're going to use in other aspects, either a friendship-wise, family?
If you are honest with yourself, yes.
Okay.
If you are truly honest with yourself, you can speak about somebody in a fond way, but it doesn't mean that you are touched. It doesn't mean that if they pop up there, you are going to stop your whole entire life. You miss a version of them that existed in a space in your life, but it doesn't mean that your life now has room to accommodate them. Like if I asked you now, if your ex comes back now,
otampo pishikembera nae man. Like candy our story now, shit. It's like, eh. Tell him what?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Like, Shimaji, I would you? Oh. Come on, neck, I'm back. Then what's that thing in? Nothing. Come on, Aro story now. Shapo, you can say that you missed the version of you that had a story with him. Because one, you were much younger. Two, your experiences now are completely different to the experiences that you had back then. Your interests have completely changed and shifted. Your intellect has changed and shifted. The conversations that you want to have right now are not the type of conversations that he can even accommodate.
Yeah, and you have lived life.
Eh. So people, oh, ton lombere, shike, mbera man. Ton lombere, divorce rate, ah. Ton lombere, infidelity, what? It's the same principle. It's only that with dead people, right? It is insensitive for us to talk about it in the same concept or the same breath as a breakup. But the truth is that it's a breakup. Because how many people have you met and you have never met them again? Like, when last did you see somebody from your grade 2 class? Exactly. Is that not death? Eh? 20 years at the Pitipuara straight, you have never seen them again. But they were your best friends. Is that not the same as death? Yeah, best friends forever.
Now I'm imagining things.
Exactly! Like Oshiri, best friends forever. When we grow up, we're gonna, and our kids are going to be friends. Chummy, it's been 20 years. Then in the way Monomo town, you just say, oh my God, we have to link up. Please send me your number. Oh my God. Like the other day I met a childhood friend of mine and she was like, oh my God, give me your number. And she was forcing, you know, I looked at her and in my heart, I said, "Kandina story nangwe." Like, what are we going to talk about? Like, yeah, like, there's just nothing that we are going to talk about, me and you, in my life, Arangi. Like, there's just nothing of yours that I could, that I'm interested in knowing.
You have lived life, and then now you are chasing what? That age?
There's just nothing about you that I want to know. Everything I wanted to know, I already asked you in those 5 minutes in the shop. How's your mother? And your sisters? Oh, how you doing? Oh, okay, do you have kids? And that's it. That's all. I don't need to know where you are working. I don't need to know how much you... Like, there's nothing I need to know about you.
But, okay, all in all, this call will end anytime soon.
Okay, you want to call back?
Yeah,
I'll be on the other line. You call back and then we wrap it up and then I can let you go.
Okay.
Cheers.
Are you really gonna let me go?
I'm going to try my best.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about moving on, letting go, and letting things be in the past. And we have used a somewhat different analogy for tonight. We have used the concept of death and how it is basically the same principles as moving on from someone, from something. It is the same principle in everything. What happens in death? If we could look at previous people in our lives as dead to me, ne? Many of us would get over things a little bit more faster. I saw a clip the other day of a woman that was saying that
how she lets go of people is that in her mind, she kills them off. So this is very dangerous to tell your psychiatrist or psychologist, right? Because there's like cuckoos for cocoa puffs. But she said that literally in her mind, when something goes south and the relationship or the friendship or the employment or whatever ends, right? What happens is that she imagines herself getting a tragic call. Oh no. Eh, what happened? No. Petrus was involved in a car accident and he passed away. It's like, oh my God, like no. And then she imagines herself going to the funeral and she imagines herself, like she does the whole thing and grieves and mourns. And then after that, she's over it. She's over it to the extent where if she ever sees you in public, it's more of like a you are dead to me kind of analogy. And that is understandably so because, it is the same. For me, it's the same principle. Maybe you guys can chime in and let me know how you guys, really figure out if you guys have moved on from something or not. The number in studio is 083-288-401. And for me, I think that when something is a little bit easier to talk about, when we are no longer fragile, when we are no longer part and parcel of the crying gang when it comes to someone, then we know that we have moved on and we're over it. And also, one important thing is also when we no longer get emotional about certain things, and also when they are no longer the center of our lives, when our lives don't orbit the thing that they did or who they are or their tragedy or their loss or when that is no longer a center point. Hello. Mm-hmm. So the center point, you know, when something has hurt you, right? Mm. I think this is another way of knowing when you have moved on. And this is why we can say it in death also. That's why I say that the principles are the same, right? For example, if your best friend died and I call you on Saturday, what are you going to tell me on Saturday? For example, I call you, hi, Aina, how are you doing? What is your answer going to be?
I'm not okay.
Why?
I've lost my friend, my best friend.
What happened? Leukemia. Mascarastolosis. You're going to give her an exotic disease.
I can say maybe she's my friend. It's a business
runner
and she went
to Angola. Wow. Oh my goodness. She contracted malaria in Angola.
Didn't survive that race.
Oh, she didn't survive the race.
But it is
the true scenario, right? It's the true scenario. And when I call you the week after that, what will your answer be? Like, hi, Aina, how are you?
I'm healing. I feel
I'm 1 week. Your best friend, Chami. I'm healing. I'm healed. I don't know. Eh? Well, hi, Aina, how are you?
But if you call me after a month.
I'm talking about a week. Hi, Aina, how are you?
After burial.
Maybe before burial.
No, before. I'm not okay. I'm still not okay. I'm still mourning. I'm grieving.
No, what are you doing?
Grieving. Like I said, I lost my friend, my best friend.
Mm. Mm. Okay. All right. After the burial. Hi, Aina. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Are you fine now at the club? Yeah? Already?
Yes, everything is there.
Just? So, they're in the ground.
my dear, 6 feet under. You know, Shivambo, they say, so jump when you're more toy.
What I say, this girl.
Yeah? At the end of the day, just prepare your life also, because you never know.
Okay.
But okay, you can be grieving, so to say, but just not to, I'm not the type of person that really post, I'm not that type.
You will post when the time comes, Chomi.
Yeah.
You must say like, I haven't found a reason to be posting about anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you cannot say I'm not the type of person, because you will see that you fall in love and then every day you are posting that guy. You will see that somebody dies and every day you are posting them. You will see that you will open a business and every day you are posting. So different situations for different times in your life. But anyways, so I call you after a week after the burial and I ask you how are you holding up? How are you doing?
I can say I'm trying to accept everything.
Okay. Yeah. So this means, right? For the next 1 month, all you're talking about is your friend.
Yeah.
But by definition, your whole entire identity becomes about that person. Because I didn't ask, how's your dead friend doing? I asked, how are you?
Yes.
Yeah. And we lose our identities in things. And our identity now becomes centered around this bad thing that happened to us. So, your boyfriend breaks up with you, and I call you a day after. How are you? I'm not fine. My boyfriend broke up with me. After 1 week, how are you doing? Oh, I'm coping, Ganga. The heartbreak has been a lot. Okay, after 2 weeks, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm getting back onto my feet because you know this guy. And it is the same principle. You lose your job. Hi, Aina, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not fine. I lost my job. And then after a week, I call you. How are you doing? It's like, no, atu konjitangasha shikatu nironga monamibia muno kan shishakucha ironga atuke other penny. And then I call you after a week again. Same principle. So death, breakup, job. Okay. You and your friend, you guys have a fight and you guys are no longer friends. I call you the next day. How are you doing? Hey, mother, I'm not fine. Me and my friend had a fight and a week later, how are you doing? I just don't believe she could ever do that to me and she could betray me like that. And I was loyal to her. I used to share my things with her and after a week after that, yeah, and I'm trying God to get better because, you know, she's not the only person in this world. Yada, yada, yada. You see how in all of these, it's the same.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm getting the picture.
Yeah. It's the same principles.
Okay.
So it is all just moving on. It's the same principle. When someone dies, we are talking about them every day. When somebody breaks up, like they become, our identities become.
Is it the right though for a human being to lose their identity in certain things?
Yes. Many of us have lost our identities, right? In so many things. Like right now, if I ask you, who are you, Aina? Hey! Yolo Maulai gang. Maringa Sanjo Maulai. I got a lot on my mind. Dario Kuzira Zira. Yeah? Who are you, Chomi?
Do I stop with the definition of what?
I don't know. Whatever you want to say, my dear.
Or just me, generally.
Chomi, whatever direction you want to take it, huh? Can she shout or she die?
I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah.
for starters, I don't know where to start.
You don't know who you are.
I know I'm Aina, but in which aspect are you asking?
Oh, you can tell me. In which aspect do you understand it? Don't know. Yeah? Don't know. Who is Aina?
I'm not even being asked that question in an interview.
Yeah, and then you end up asking the interviewer questions. It depends on in which aspect are you asking me. Huh. Yeah?
At the end of the day, you failed.
Small answer. You cannot answer.
Who am I really? I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't even answer to that.
Why don't you have an answer? You live with yourself.
Yes. I know. I'm kind of
But who is Aina?
I can't really answer that. Because I don't know.
Ne?
I don't know how to put it in a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if I tell you the answer right now, who is Aina? Mm. And if you ask me after 3 to 4 days, it doesn't really matter, right? Because it doesn't.
It's giving bipolar, Chomi. If you are changing every 3 days, it's giving bipolar. Everything you answer is. Who are you today, Chomi? Yeah, I'm a pilot.
The answer doesn't stay constant, right?
I don't know. Choose. That's a simple answer. But if you asked your friend, not any of my kids, but your friends from school, if you asked them, what answer would they give you?
Who they are? It depends, because, you know, we are different.
No, but 90% of them. They all give the same answer. 90% of them, you go now to one of your friends from class and you ask, okay, who are you, Selma? Selma, who are you? If you had to describe yourself or define yourself in a sentence right now, what would you say? Who are you?
You said 90%, they give the same answer.
They'll give the same answer. Not unless you are the matriarch's babies. The matriarch's babies get this question like that. They understand it like the way you're understanding it is the way my kids understand it, because we know the correct answer to that one. But 90% of people that you know on the outside, if you ask them, who are you? What would they say?
I'm not positive, but I'll just assume, right?
Okay, please.
Maybe they'll tell me their name. Or if I'm asking that question, am I going to ask them to define themselves? Maybe.
Yeah, you can ask them to define themselves. You can ask them to explain who they are. You can, whatever. But the question is, who are you? Maybe describe who you are. Define who you are. Who are you right now? All of them will give you the same answer. You should just don't overthink it, Aina. Because now you're overthinking it. Don't overthink it.
But do I know the answer?
Most probably, no, you don't know the answer because it's not your answer to know. I'm trying to prove a point. So I need you to give an answer so that I prove my point.
Okay, just a moment.
Hmm?
Just a moment.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, so if you asked your brother, who are you right now? Who are you? Like, who are you? Tell me who you are. What would he say?
Maybe he'll probably say his name.
Mm-hmm.
And
give me a sentence.
And he can maybe say, no, I'm Kefas Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
No. You don't know. Most people would say things like, no, I'm Cleophas Abraham. I'm an engineering student. I'm 20 years of age and I'm from Ondangwa. Those are the basic answers. Ask anybody. Just put it on any group right now. I want you guys to answer this. All of them will give you the same answer. I'm a third year nursing student. I'm a what? They'll all give you that.
Answering me with their position.
Yeah. How many people have you met that answer you with their position? Everyone.
It reflects back. Now it's coming back.
Every single person. Like, who are you? I'm a radio presenter. I'm a what, right?
Like their position.
Everything. Just listen carefully. Their age, their position, where they are from, who they are.
You know what I'm gonna do tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask my colleagues. Either two or three of them.
All of them will answer you the same. I'm a bubbly, charismatic person. I'm chatty. And I'm currently... You just go and even watch all the Miss Namibia things. My name is... I am from where I'm currently doing medicine. And... All of that.
Introducing. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But going back to your question, many of us get lost in things and assume it to be our identity. So when I ask you who you are and you tell me you are a third year nursing student,
mm-hmm.
When I ask you in 2 years, I'm a registered nurse. When I ask you in 10 years?
No, I think in 10 years, I think my answer will change.
But why should it have to change if you are the same?
I'm the same, but...
But there are core characteristics about you that should be the same. I know we are evolving, but they are core things that can never be taken out of you. But many of us miss those ones and we answer with what we are doing with our lives. That's why it's difficult for you to answer that one. Like, who are you? Who are you?
I don't know.
You don't want to be part of 90%, eh? Chummy, just girl, just.
I'm starting like, who are you, Ndasa?
Exactly.
But would you answer the same question like that?
For me,
or would you use the phrase of "I am Elizabeth," and if they say, maybe you can define yourself.
For me, I would say, if somebody asked me, who are you? I would say, for right now, I have no idea who I am. But, right? What I know about me, the core values that I know about myself is that I'm a loving person. I'm kind. And also, I'm hot-tempered here and there. I'm an introverted extrovert. I like outside and I like inside at the same time. It's weird. And I'm an intense person. So in most cases, I do intense things, but it is intensity with precaution. That's who I am. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be the same tomorrow. But the core foundation of my answer is that I have no idea who I am. No idea. Because the me that I was yesterday is not the me that I am today. Some bipolar things happening here. Eh? And I can never say that I'm not capable of doing something. Because yesterday I could have just been a banker and then tomorrow I'm a murderer. So, unfortunately, I have no idea who I am. But I know that what I've been so far, this is what I've been so far up until this moment. When I walk away from you, I might go in my head and then I become a bad person. Then I add it to my CV. But for now, this is what I am. Yeah. I feel like we can only truly know who we are at the end. At the end of life, where we can summarize everything that we have been.
Yeah. Okay.
But most of us live by the definition of the things that we do.
We do.
Yeah. So, who are you, Eliza? Who are you, Anna? I am a wife. I am a mother. Like, yeah, Chomi. I'm a graduate. Like, yeah. It's a CV of work. Hold the line.
Are you ready to shape your future and make a difference through education? At Sunshine Private College, we are committed to providing exceptional tertiary education that's flexible, accessible, and tailored to your goals. We say education first. Our programs are accredited by the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, and registered with the Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Enrollment for August 2026 is now open. Choose from Postgraduate Diploma in Education Secondary, 1 year Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Junior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Senior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Diploma in Early Childhood Development in Junior Primary Education, 3 years Level 6, Study Full Time or Via Distance Learning, Block Release. You choose what works for you. Call us today at 061-22-1805 or 081-288-5258 for more details. Sunshine Private College, not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
All right, let's round it up, please.
Okay, ma'am.
So now, with that being said, many of us become the identities that we push out there. So you become the girl whose friend died last week.
Uh-huh.
How are you? Oh. My friend died last week.
You would even want to know if you even want everyone to know that you are going through hard times.
And then you sit everywhere and that is all you are talking about all the time. Because it has become your what? Your identity.
Okay, I know it's part of us and we human beings. Like you said, 90% of us get lost in everything, but in everyday things that we do for a living or just generally. But you find those people, they don't speak. Okay, they do speak, not because they do speak, but just to speak up, they're just not talkative. Now, yes, they are there. My question is, how do they heal? How they, how, or maybe their type, which I'm just going to speak when they see this person. I practical example, I think a week ago, was at work, one of my colleagues, I think by nature, she's just a quiet person. And she's not saying, I know I'm not well, I can't bear to stand for long. She's just forcing herself to stand. All I saw, she collapsed. Just like that. And then after she woke up, after she woke up, after vital signs done and blood taken, I asked her, how are you feeling? She just said, she's fine. Can I offer you something to eat? Maybe it's because of dizziness, low sugar. No, I'm good. After 3 to 4 days, I called upon inquiring, how are you? She's okay. Can that really tell me that maybe she has certain people that she believes that she can talk to generally, or is just who she is? Or because we are different, right?
It could be. Or maybe she has nothing to say. How?
Okay.
Eh.
But I still have a bad...
But what? But you just fainted. But, so what? It could have been my sugar. Wait. Why?
Just to know.
Opo?
Nothing.
You're even saying it nothing.
What transpired? What is really going on?
About what?
What just I saw? What just happened? Why did you faint?
Nothing.
Just like that.
Yeah.
okay.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah. No further queries.
What did you want to hear, Ngeno, ne?
Ngeno.
Yeah.
She's my past medical history, maybe she's epileptic, or maybe she's
so that
she's
what?
A problem by that.
So that what?
Just to know.
Oh, so that?
I will not do anything without not even disclose. Just to know.
So that?
So that nothing happens. I know so that. That I'm not
so what are you going to do with it? That information? No. Nothing. So, you want to know for nothing purposes? Yeah?
Check. Even you. You also find yourself in a situation where you just want to know, right?
About what?
Just about. How do I say it then?
About what? No, talk the truth. I just want to be nosy. Because there's nothing you're going to do with that information.
Yes, I know, but...
But what? But what? Why? Why?
Just like that.
So that?
So that you can...
For nothingness. You want to know for nothingness?
Yes.
So that? So that?
Nothing.
Oppo? Why?
Also find yourself
from the baby to mom, but to do what? Eh? Oppo? The sooner you admit what is wrong with you, the better, Aina.
Yes. but
I'm nosy and I want to know your life. That's the truth. Now you want to come here and pretend to us. Like, no, I just, for past history, no, I just, huh. No, I'm nosy and I want to know your life. Because there's nothing interesting happening in my own life. So, I like to know your life. Please tell me, ma'am. Yeah?
If I say that, am I not being straightforward?
You're being straightforward and nosy. Now you want to pretend. You want to hide under concern. I'm very concerned about your life, Chomi. Okay. You are not concerned. You are just nosy. I know I'm going to rush you. You're popping in my... We really learn your condition. Today the tampon. What did the tampon do? Oh, my dear. We hear it. Now, when the people are quiet, you're like, it's not normal. I'm going to shop again now. I'm on Sengo. Just admit, you are just nosy, Chomi. Because even when I asked you, so that what do you get out of knowing people's things? Nothing. What can you do about it? Nothing. But you don't want to admit that you are a nosy neighbor. What happened?
All in all is part of us, right?
Some of us, huh? Some people don't care about other people's lives.
Okay.
As we do, some of us don't have anything going on in our lives, Jimmy.
Nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting at all. Nothing interesting at all. So, we're like, what's happening there? Who got divorced? My God, didn't they just get married last year? Gossip. Because all you do is go home, come back, go home, come back. That's it. Yeah. There's nothing interesting. Hey, what happened to that guy? That's why even when someone dies, they ask you, oh my God, what happened? The reason people ask what happened is so that they can avoid death. He was speeding. Oh! Now every time you get into the car for the first week, we are driving very slow because that other guy died here. It even goes as far as going to check where the person died at the accident scene. Muto vi denga apa. But I don't understand how they could die here. Because this road is straight.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Because they are just very quiet. Maybe because you are not their friend. Why must they tell you their things?
People are too quiet.
Why must they tell you their things? You are not their friend.
Just a thing that just happened.
It's my thing that happened to me. Why must I tell you that my CD4 count fell? Huh? What are you going to do? If I lost too much blood through my abortion? You had the abortion. Yes. It's illegal, I know. That's why I didn't want to tell anyone. Then what? What are you going to do with that information, ma'am?
Nothing.
All the answers are just nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
You just want to know.
Because you are nosy, Chomi. It's not because you are concerned. It's because you are nosy. It's just because you are nosy, my friend. It's not because of anything else except being nosy. Okay. So now what? Okay. No, my CD4 counts fail. Now you have to walk around with my HIV secret there at work.
Every time I see you, I just afraid my friend is.
Yeah. Ano nyo nyembo na mo kaya kupula.
Mara, nyembo rin ne?
De kuya mukula ne? Ukwashil?
I'll not do anything. I'll just say,
there's nothing you can do. But why did you want to know?
Maybe it's part of
you and who? Huh? No one there asked me. Manke walandul lensh. Just tell me. Please. Just tell me. I won't tell anyone. Please. I won't tell anyone. Eh? You're begging somebody for their story, Chomi.
That person just fainted.
Eh.
What if a person died?
They're in the hospital. They are safe. The safest place to faint is a hospital. Colleagues, you just handle me like a patient. Because this is a medical emergency.
But we want to know more.
I will tell the doctor.
For me.
I must know your things. Chomi, why? I must know your things. Now you just walk around with a head full of people's things. I na. We're going to eat this, huh? We have a bipolar. We're going to ask it to friend me. Oh, they are working so nice for a person, ne? And no, it is, you have no one to share your things with because you have everybody's things because you are nosy. Because you ask everybody to tell you their secrets because you cannot stand being in an office where you don't know nobody's secrets. But what happened? How can you just faint like that? It's impossible. Huh? Okay. My CD4 count dropped, ma'am. And don't tell anyone. If I hear it, I know it's you. Because you are the only person that asked me and I told them. How is she quatane kilok? Jokes away this uta. Nayo well, me I didn't say anything nande. About what? Diana, I didn't talk, huh? Nandi arombura kuchini de uno ibisa. Ngoka kwati thinga Diana. Eh? Most the other day when Diana... Most the other day, every day you come here, you know most Diana, mom, Diana from my work, the one with HIV. Because you can't tell your colleagues at work. And you realize that it was none of your business to know that secret of Diana. And now you have to keep it a secret.
For the rest of your life.
Every time you see her walking, every time you see her attending to patients without a glove. Yeah, but I sanitize my... But Diana, you know you're not the same as others. Hey, you become the glove police. Diana, what are you doing? Yeah?
I don't want to say much.
What did Paneki long and way? Diana comes to attend to you quick. Not Diana! Then, no, gentlemen, you're a fool. Could you need the Edisa? Yeah, but that's not how you contracted. I would just feel more comfortable with someone else. Was stick more on it, I'm making go. Discrimination. I didn't mean to. Yeah, eh. All because of just tell me, please tell me. Eh? Now you know people's things and you don't know what to do with it. Eh? Just because you are nosy. Why? Why you want to know? Now your whole work life and your whole work career has been completely destroyed. Why?
Because of being noisy.
Just tell me, please. Yeah. Can't you some secrets are bigger than you, Chomi? Yeah. Can't you some secrets are bigger than you? Some secrets are not for you. Can't you cannot hold it? Then Kewa Randuli Lenkweni. Diana, please tell me, I'll not tell anyone. Hey, now you are stuck with your secret. Then ina kume patient dado. Diana naka longe kunya koshike kosida. Why? Discrimination at the workplace. They're not even a registered nurse yet. You already have things. Waka complain washo. Yeah, I told her something in confidentiality. Now 6 other people at the office know. Hey. And she went to speak about it on radio.
Black people talk, Annie.
Oh my God. Oh, black people talk, Angin, you know, if you're asking, please tell me, Diana, why. Please. Why did you faint, please? Oh.
I thought somebody
it's her fault. Why did she faint at work?
If you know that, no, okay, I don't. Sometimes it's ideal to know. To know for nothing, yes. But.
To know for nothing.
Oh, person just fainted in front of you. Hey. Your colleagues matter.
Mm.
And you are not going to have some query.
Oh.
Regarding that.
Hey. Are you okay, Diana? Yes, I'm okay. Great. Poor.
Oh, poor. No. You'll not even think of maybe this person is diabetic.
If it's diabetic, are they supposed to tell you?
No.
Is it your business?
No.
Why do you want to know?
Just thoughts.
So that? So that nothing? Are you an insulin? Chami, hey, are you an insulin? No. Hey, then why do you want to know about somebody's diabetic results and diagnosis? Why? Why do you want to know, ma'am? Why? It does what?
Just to know.
So that what? Toshilongi thashkeshono. Hi. Kinash toshilongi. Hey, then what must I tell you? Opo?
Aye, opo nga.
Opo ike?
Nothing.
It's a nothing for me. It's the nothing for me, Jomi. The nothing.
Hey, gossip girl. I just... Okay. I fainting, Kara. Why? What happened? Nothing.
But all in all... I think I need to sleep.
Come on, I just realized a lot of bad things about myself. Like, hi. Hi. Is this who I am? You know everybody's ailments there at work. How can my colleague just... My colleague was picked up by a black car. Who is it? Why? I just for knowing, but why?
That's right. I think it's just something that is within us.
You and who?
No.
Me and my colleagues. Jimmy. Us, me and my colleagues, we just need to know why. Hela. Is there something inside you and your colleagues? Why? I don't know. Why? Shashi. Hey, okay?
Yeah. Just my nose is blocked. I don't know if it's flu or just laughing.
Being nosy also contributes to me.
It's just a nose blocked.
Me, I know I'm nosy. I like to know. And then I say things like, yeah, don't also ask me my things. Don't also ask me my things. Hey, don't also ask me my things when I also have things to talk about. Don't also ask me. I also say it's none of your business. Okay. Then the person is like, yeah, but I didn't say it's none of, but still it felt like that's what you said. It just feels like that. Just tell me what's wrong. I just need to know why. Nothing.
I want to know, and yeah, you are good. Yeah, I'm good. Can you remember what happened to you? Right, maybe.
Yes, I do. I know exactly what happened. Why?
Do you mind if you?
I mind. I mind. Hey. Oh. You people that like to abuse your power. As a medical staff, we need to know. Abuse of power. Oshonengao. Ehe, abuse of power. Oshonengao. Mi longa eni. Using your ranks to know my private information.
But I thought it was right, confidentiality and privacy.
Hey.
I just want to know.
Why?
I not say much.
What if the thing that I'm telling you is so big and you can't keep it to yourself? Some things are not meant to be known by anybody else. In my way, it over a quick alec. Like, yeah, last week I should be to a fara, uncle Awanje, ku pule, and the tatungu se a holy. Pefembella. What are you gonna do with that information?
You will not do anything, but you will take a lot.
Fear! Pefembella, he didn't die nicely. Pefek antio kokilo ya zenganende. I don't know, my whole life is just a mess.
Fear will come within you.
just because you wanted to know.
In the Shikamba, this word, it's a little winner. And you'll be there with big eyes every time you see this person.
And then me, I'll have the audacity to even say, please don't tell anyone. Hey, please don't tell anyone. I trust you, Aina.
Chos? You trust me,
eh? I trust you.
Yeah, but believe me, ma'am, eh? Even if when you're going home or wherever you're going, you'll always be looking behind.
Eh? You can look behind. But me, I told you because I trust you.
That's a big thing.
It's not a big thing. You asked me and I told you the truth.
It's scary even.
Eh, you asked. Didn't you think that it might be scary? Before you asked me, I would not and said you would not tell anyone.
It implies that when she fainted, she was seeing things.
Hey, I have a genetic disease caused by the what on my brain.
You can't do anything about it. You ask to know, right? No. Now you know. Nothing.
Karon bela ne Antone kuchandi lupule. Andi lupule.
Hi. Maybe you are next. Maybe the person is monitoring you. You don't know. You just put your life in. But I think being noisy, it comes with. It depends on how, in which matters you want to know.
Okay. All right, my lovey. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you too.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye, my darling.
As expecting. Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, my beloveds, good evening to you. How do we let go? We'd move like this.
Around matchmaking. How do we define the modern arranged marriage? Well, this is where each partner has power veto and some input into the choice of their partner, and it occurs in a greater culture that is supportive of divorce. So the research we're about to look at comes out of the USA. So how have the last 200 years, a mere blip in history, gone when it comes to our romantic love marriages? Divorce rate in love marriages, circa 40%. Because we're getting married when we're older, when our personality and our values have consolidated, divorce rates are falling, but so too are marriage rates. In the USA today, people are avoiding marriage entirely more than any other time in history. Single-parent families are more common after love marriages. Birth rates are of particular importance to governments because they underpin long-term economic growth. In the USA today, birth rates are below population replacement levels. In a study done on modern arranged marriages in the US, where partners had some input into partner selection, they looked at four factors that determine marital satisfaction: loving, loyalty, shared values, and issues around finances. The average duration of the marriage was more than 11 years, and each individual filled out their questionnaires separately. The arranged marriages are the ones on your left. Yes, the ones that are higher on each of those four parameters. Two points of note. Maybe surprisingly, The reports from the women were no different from the reports from the men. But the finding that fascinates me is that greater involvement in partner selection did not improve marital satisfaction scores. And just let that sink in. Getting each partner to factor in who they were more attracted to did not increase love or marital satisfaction scores. So it would seem that not finding the one, or more specifically, having somebody else find them for you, is the secret to marital bliss. Professor Robert Epstein is an American researcher who has studied this phenomenon in some depth, and he's found the crossover, the point at which love in the arranged marriages exceeds that in the love marriages, occurs around 5 years. By 10 years, the levels in the arranged marriages are significantly higher. What's going on? Well, my take on it is that when people marry for love, they hope the love carry them through the tough times, the conflict, the life stressors. But romantic feelings do not coexist well beside the feelings that go with stress and conflict. They get pushed aside, such that the couples I work with who've had repeated problems tell me they have now fallen out of love. In an arranged marriage, all you have from the outset is a commitment. A commitment to make it work no matter what, and to make it work as a team. The lack of romantic feeling at these times is not only of no surprise to them, it is of little concern to them. Commitment carries you through the tough times, romantic love not so much. So, what do we find if we study the modern arranged marriages to find how they build love over time? This takes us back to Epstein's work. He and his co-workers undertook a number of studies to answer that question. In one particular study, they looked at 35 factors that could build love over time. Here are the top five. Nothing conveys love more than making sacrifices for your partner. Now, I'm not suggesting that we return to arranged marriages, but I do think they have something to teach us. Allow me to reduce this research down, along with my clinical experience, to one sentence. My definition of true love that I believe underpins successful long-term relationships. True love is the feeling of being fully accepted by another, who is committed to nurturing both your personal growth and their own. Now, of course, to effectively nurture somebody's personal growth, you have to be empathically interested in where they are on both a day-by-day basis and in the longer term. Equally importantly, we have to take responsibility for our own personal growth. You cannot rely on your partner to meet all of your needs. It does take a village to grow an adult. In conclusion, I know people fall head over heels in love, feeling they have found the one. Judgment free. If you're young and you just want to fall in love, then do that. You want to get married when you're older anyway. And when it happens, enjoy the hell out of it while it lasts. But please, please remember, you do not have to marry them. Or with much greater finality, have children with them. That's why contraception was invented. Instead of asking, are they the one? Ask two questions of each of you. Do I accept my partner despite their shortcomings? Do I commit to nurture them, to achieve what is important to them? And likewise, do they accept me and do they commit to me? All you need is four yeses. Thank you.
So most of us think that fighting is bad for romantic relationships, right? How many many people do you know who say, hey, I had a great fight the other day? Oh, yeah, my partner and I fight all the time and we're super happy.
52 years ago, we put love under the microscope. Julie and I are the founders of the Gottman Institute and the Love Lab. And we've made the study of relationships our life's work. And our research tells us that fighting is good for relationships, not bad.
In our lab, we saw that almost all couples fight. In fact, how they fight in the first 3 minutes predicts with 96% accuracy not only how the rest of the conversation will go, but how the rest of the relationship will go 6 years down the road. My God, I know. It's terrifying, isn't it? So it's not if we fight that determines relationship success. It's how we fight.
In fact, our research has revealed that some fighting actually increases connection and even improves our sex life. So how do we fight right?
Hi there. I'm Dr. Julie Gottman.
And I'm Dr. John Gottman.
So you mentioned in your TED Talk that a large percentage of conflict is actually never resolved, right? 69%. I'm curious, Julie, how, when we are having a conflict that we're not going to find a solution, mm-hmm. what does the end of that conflict look like? What's a healthy end to a conflict that can't have a solution?
A temporary compromise. That's what works best. So a problem like messiness versus neatness is going to come up over and over and over again. What do you know? We have that one. So,
or introversion versus extroversion, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So what typically happens in the way to do it right is you go to a deeper understanding place by asking each other questions that really draw out underlying themes, underlying dreams, underlying background history, maybe, that are part of each person's position on the issue. So there's deeper understanding, hopefully a little more compassion, and then you arrive at a temporary compromise. Mm. Just a little bit of compromise.
And John, between the two of you, who is the messy one and who's the neater one?
Messy. Yes.
Okay. So
how messy in the sense that I'm constantly reading books and then the pile grows and grows wherever I happen to read.
And the pile grows right next to the side of the bed. So right. Eventually our temporary compromise is after 4 weeks or so, I will say to John, sweetie, I'm going to break my neck if I try and make the bed. Will you please move your books?
Right.
And then he does. And yeah. Then it starts over again.
I think that for a lot of people in long-term relationships, when you hit something that is like this, where you have a pattern of being and it keeps happening over and over, a lot of times people make this narrative in their head that this is like a huge problem and that if you can't solve it forever, then that is maybe a deal breaker when it shouldn't necessarily be. How do you address that with people?
Well, what we always say to people is that, look, you are in a different body than me. You have a different brain than me. So there are inevitably going to be personality differences and lifestyle differences that erupt into conflict every now and then. So it's okay as long as you learn how to talk about it and talk about it calmly, gently, without tearing each other apart. You know, Chris, a lot of people want to marry their clone. However, if they did, they would be bored out of their minds. Who wants to, you know, talk to your mirror all day, right?
Yeah.
So as a result, those differences can really enrich the relationship. They don't deter from it.
Well, for example, there was a master couple in the study that Bob Levinson and I did, 20-year longitudinal study. And this couple was amazing. I mean, he was attracted to her because he was really introverted and she was kind of the life of the party. You know, they were in this black church together and, you know, she would invite everybody from the church over every Sunday and it really irritated him. So the very thing that attracted him to her became a source of irritation. Mm. And for her, she was attracted to the fact that he was a quiet and thoughtful, steady and loyal person. Somebody she could really, he was like the rock, you know, and she described him that way. And then she noticed that when he became tense about anything, he really withdrew. And she hated that. So she'd say, talk to me, talk to me. And say, everything's all right. Don't worry about it. You know, I've got it under control. Yeah, but what are you feeling? And he'd just be quiet. And that would really irritate her. So often the very source that attracts people then becomes, you know, point of irritation. So these two people talked about this, and she said, okay, so what are all your feelings about this issue? She said in the lab. And he started to laugh because he doesn't do feelings. So she said, no, really, you know, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciated the drive we took and this weekend to that park. And he said, you're welcome. She said, it was very thoughtful of you to, you know, to take me on that drive, but you were so quiet. What were you thinking about? And he says, well, I can't pay the insurance this month. If you really want to know what I'm feeling. And she said, well, I'm glad you didn't tell me during the ride. It would have spoiled the whole thing. But I need you to talk to me about things like that. Well, what good would it do? She said, well, I've got my own money. I can. He said, you got your own money? She said, absolutely. I always have had, you know, and I've got money stashed away. I use it for parties. I use it for all kinds of things. When the kids need something, he says, all right, well, what about that? She said, I can pay that insurance this month. He said, well, that would be great. See, she said, if you talk to me about your feelings, there's a solution there. He said, all right, yeah, well, maybe I'll talk to you more about my feelings. And they're both laughing at themselves. You know, here they are, you know, talking about this perpetual issue that they've had now for, they've been married 25 years, right? And these are the masters, right? And the way they deal with the perpetual issue is just beautiful.
That kind of fighting where you are, you come to a resolution and you actually understand your partner better. This is something that you two talk about quite a lot. How often are the problems rooted in the past versus the present relationship?
90%, I would say. So part of that exercise that we ask couples to do in order to really understand each other more deeply is a series of questions, as I mentioned, that they ask each other. But listen to these questions. Do you have any values, ethics, or beliefs that are part of your position on this issue? And the second one, is there any childhood history or background history that has formed your position on this issue? Why is this so important to you? What are your feelings about it? Is there an ideal dream that you're hoping for that really relates to your position on this issue? And then the one that sometimes goes the deepest is there an underlying purpose or sense of meaning, life purpose, that's a part of your position on this issue? And that goes, Chris, into this really existential place of why am I alive? Why am I here? Well, if I want to parent my kids without corporal punishment, those kids are my legacy. Those kids will carry on what I've given them when I'm dead and gone. So that's why that position is so important to me. No corporal punishment. You see, so those questions draw out so much deep understanding that the other partners often will just, oh, I had no idea. Really? Oh my God. So
conflict then becomes something entirely different. You know, you can get behind your partner's dream and you're more willing to work on some kind of an agreement that honors both people's dreams.
Right.
And so conflict becomes an entirely different thing. It's like problem solving. together, working out a puzzle together rather than working against each other, you know, which we think of conflict as this, but we don't think of it as that. And those questions, those six questions, are really powerful.
Before I ever met the two of you, my wife and I used a product that you created, this deck of cards, 52 questions to ask before marriage or moving in. This is not a sponsored ad, but I truly, I believe in this so much. I've given those to so many of friends and couples who are moving in or getting married because, my wife and I dated for a long time before we got married almost on our 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
And so having been together for a decade, I thought like, surely we have talked about everything. There's not like some sort of new revelation. But these questions that you put together, these are the most common sources of conflict and disagreement in marriage. And what I found is that when Molly and I actually sat down and talked through them, there were so many that we had never had an explicit conversation about. Do you want to send your kids to public or private school? How do you think about what would happen if one of you was incapacitated medically? Right? Like, these are really tough questions.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so many people believe in the myth that you have to be compatible in order to have a good relationship, which really has to do with, okay, what things do I think are important? What do I love to do, etc. And it's not really about kind of the content of those discussions. It's more about how do you talk about them.
One of the concepts that you two both became really well known for was this idea of the four horsemen of the apocalypse
right.
conversations. Can you, for people who aren't familiar, can you just walk us through what those are?
Yeah. So, you know, what we found initially was that there were four things, four negative things that people did. And these four things were the way they started talking about a conflict. The first was criticism, which is stating the problem as a defect in the partner's personality. Our problem is that you're, you know, thoughtless and unkind or something like that. Criticism, that was the first one. Defensiveness, the second one. A normal reaction to criticism, say, you know, counterattacking. You're not so perfect. Here's what's wrong with you. Or feeling like an innocent victim and whining about it. So criticism, defensiveness, contempt, which is an escalation of criticism with a tone of superiority. Like sarcasm does that, really an insulting superior air to the criticism. And finally, stonewalling, which is really emotional withdrawal from the interaction, just, you know, tuning out and not giving the usual signals to a speaker that you're listening and are with the speaker. So those are the four things that were the best predictors.
And Julie, can a couple come back from experiencing those?
Sure, of course. First of all, I think most people use those because we're in a very critical culture. You know, think about it. We go to school at 6 years old and immediately we're starting to be criticized. Sit down. Don't get up. That's not good. You're not doing well enough, etc. We just absorb criticism as a way of communicating. And it always makes somebody defensive, you know, typically, most of the time. So we can come back when we know the alternatives. Nobody takes relationships 101 in high school or college or anywhere right. else. Most people haven't had the perfect relationship in front of them to role model after, right? Kids are watching parents, typically, who are not doing very well. Right? At least half of them are not. Yeah. So how do you learn how to have good conflict? When people have the alternatives, they grab hold of them like a sponge, soak them up, and then try to practice them. And at first it feels really phony, you know, just like, oh, this is ridiculous. This isn't me. You're right. It isn't you. And you are destroying the marriage. No, I don't say that. I promise. But anyway. Once they have alternatives, they really want to try and use them. And it turns out that when they do, oh my God, you know, everything turns around.
My honest reaction to you naming the four horsemen of the apocalypse is I wish that my reaction was thinking, oh man, people act like that? But instead, I'm like, I've done that, and I've done that, and I can remember a time when I did that one, and that one.
We all have. Welcome to the human race.
Yeah. And I think this is something that I really have struggled with in my own relationship, is needing to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
Because wanting it to be perfect all the time, but that being unavoidably not possible. And so how do I figure out how to learn how to fight and how to do that?
So relationship skills are the same kind of thing. It's like learning to play an instrument. You have to practice. You have to rehearse. You have to make mistakes and recover from them and so on.
Good point.
It really takes study, you know, to really fight right. And once you fight right, though, conflicts are actually a source of greater intimacy. And greater understanding. Mm-hmm. And you're solving problems together, not against one another.
I think that my wife Molly and I have, over the years, developed a lot of these skills that we're talking about how to fight. And yet, we are in this moment where we have a young kid at home.
Right.
We have another on the way. It's kind of a classic time where there's a lot going on.
Right.
And so I wonder, what do you do when the conflicts are less internal, how you two are relating to each other, and more external, like how do we have enough time to connect?
Right.
How do we have enough money to go on a date night or to not be stressed? How do we have enough sleep so that we can take that second and be our best selves?
When your child is 35, you will be getting enough sleep.
I believe that. If I can survive till my child is 35, I believe I will be a much better partner.
The answer to your question is really so important, because we actually discovered by doing research on people going through the transition from being partners to being parents, almost 2/3 of couples go through a big drop in relationship happiness. Mm-hmm. Hostility increases in their conflict. And it transfers to the child also, adversely affecting the child's development. So we saw that there were masters who went through this transition smoothly. They actually managed to go through it without the drop in relationship satisfaction. And they did the whole thing entirely differently.
Hmm.
And so by studying them and comparing them to the people who really suffered through this transition, we learn how people manage that. How do they manage not having enough money for a date or not feeling comfortable leaving the baby with a babysitter, and, you know, all of those problems.
So first of all, it's really important to have what we call a stress reducing conversation. Mm. And, you know, ideally you have that every day, but, you know, who has time? People don't have time, but a stress reducing conversation is amazing. It deals with external stresses outside the relationship. You talk about your day and you say to your partner, oh my God, you know, I had such a terrible day. My boss chewed me out. It was awful in front of everybody. Now, typically the way that people used to respond to that is, let me fix it for you. Let me solve the problem. Why don't you do this? Wrong. That doesn't work. Because it cuts off the emotions, and emotions are where you really build a bond, right? Mm. So what the partner needs to do is ask questions to understand the speaker's feelings at a deeper level. So you might ask questions like, what was the worst part about this for you? Do you have a nightmare scenario about what might happen here? You know, help me understand. I don't quite get that part. And then as the understanding builds with questions, and note, you're showing your interest by asking those questions, then you express empathy. That's all you need to do. Empathy looks like, God, what a bummer. That's terrible. Oh, geez. You don't have to solve the problem. Your partner is usually smart enough to do that him or herself, right? So it's the empathy and the interest that makes a huge difference. Now, couples who have young kids may end up doing that at, I don't know, 10 to 10. And by 10 o'clock, it's night, you know, lights out, right? So even a quick one will help. even a quick one. The other thing that you can really do is look for what your partner is doing right and say thank you. Not noting what they've done wrong. You didn't clean off the kitchen counters. Look for what they're doing right. Thanks for doing the dishes. Thanks for making the coffee. Express gratitude. Express appreciation every moment you can. That, too, is building this positive culture of appreciation so that when you do have your blowouts, you've got some good emotional money in the bank that you're drawing from, but there's still some left over. That's
keep
the point.
The romance going. I mean, make the relationship a priority.
I think naturally, probably people often have a lot of questions for you about how to solve the conflict. But I'm curious about putting that that money in the relationship bank.
Another thing you can do is ask your partner questions that are meaningful questions, that are open-ended questions. Like, so, you know, how are you thinking about your career as an academic these days? How are you feeling about the house that we're trying to build right now? How are you thinking about our daughter and how she's doing in school, you know, et cetera? So we would really draw out questions that were timely, but also gave us a road, kind of a road map, really, into the internal world of our partner in that moment. So if you think about it, when you're dating, you ask your partner, potential partner, lots of different questions to find out who they are. As soon as you cross the, you know, the aisle into marriage, boom, that ends. There's no more big questions. Bad idea. Because we're not static creatures, right? We're changing all the time. Every single day, we're going through little changes. And over the course of time, we're evolving into almost totally different human beings. So asking questions like you may have asked initially is a wonderful thing to keep doing. But when our daughter was 8 years old and she went to sleepaway camp, we decided to take ourselves to camp and we went... We went to this really cool hotel on this island and would go there for, you know, 10 days, a week maybe. And we would ask each other these same questions year after year. How did you feel about last year? What was a bummer about last year? What was wonderful about last year? What are you looking forward to? That kind of ritual of connection is something, you know, the small ones that you build into your day are perfect. John is a wonderful cook, so he will make dinner. I'm not bad, but I'm a better cleaner than he is, and now you know why. So I'll do the cleaning, right? He does the cooking. And if I cook, he cleans. So, you know, it's this
to her standards.
To most of the time.
Right.
So that kind of almost co-designing parts of your relationship while preserving the spontaneity.
You two also, I've noticed, even just in this conversation, there are these like moments of friction that everyone has. And instead of becoming like, I'm upset about that, I'm going to talk about that later, where you talked when I wanted to talk or you bumped me, you two, maybe even without thinking about it, you give each other like a little pat or you say like, sorry, or you laugh, you smile. That feels important.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think it is too. You know, it may be just because we've done lots of interviews and at first, you know, we didn't know who was going to talk, who was going to ask questions. And the reality, Chris, actually, is that this world continues to be very sexist. So what would happen is that John and I would be asked a question that was usually clinical in nature. I would answer it, and then they would turn to John, and they would say, well, Dr. Gottman, what do you think? what am I? I'm also Dr. Gottman. And God bless this man. He would say, I think she already answered it.
Mm.
But that was happening constantly. So eventually, he and I developed signals for who would answer what. And little signals if one of us was going on too long, the other one wanted to say something. And so it's this subtle, nonverbal form of communication that so far has served us well.
I would imagine that very few couples who are listening or watching have the exact problem of we are both clinical psychologists, and we are both PhD psychologists who are interviewed and one of us gets asked more questions. But I think that the underlying piece, that often there's like a structural societal prejudice that then plays out in your relationship, mm-hmm. whether that is one partner is expected to do more childcare, or one partner is not expected to have as rich an intellectual life as another, or they're expected to be one way or the other. Those can often, the external forces can play a really tough role in the internal relationship. So this is a way that you two have navigated that. I wonder if there's a way that you can draw some lessons for other people who are struggling with that.
You know, for a woman to talk to a man about sexism against women, it's sometimes easy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, the partner, the male partner will really personalize it. You don't like me because I'm a man, you know, etc. And it's really important to make the distinction when you're trying to convey an idea to your partner about what you've gone through, to say, this isn't about you. This isn't about you. Preface it. This is not a criticism of you. I married you because you're an exception. But it's still out there.
When Julie says the four dreaded words, we need to talk. I whip out my notebook, and I get my pen out and I say, okay, I'm listening. Talk to me. And I write down what she says. And if I'm feeling defensive, I just keep writing. I slow it down so I can write every word. And as I'm writing, I kind of go, oh, that's a good point. Interesting. Oh. So I stay calm and less defensive. This is my big invention. I use it all the time.
You know how many of these he has?
Yeah,
he has like 50 of them, and guess where they are? On top of
it. I was going to say, if there's one thing I've learned about John, is that from any possible place around you or on your body, you might pull out a book of some kind.
Yeah, you've got to be able to reach the resources that you need.
You've been doing this work for decades. Have there been trends or improvements or changes, positively or negatively, that you've noticed in relationships over the course of your careers?
Well, first of all, one of the biggest ones was COVID, right? So people were struggling with COVID for 2 years, sometimes 3 years. You know, it's still going on now. And what we saw is that the couples who were doing well and then had to quarantine did great. They were just terrific. They had these conversations they usually didn't have time for, and so on. The couples who were not doing well, really, the cracks really opened up into chasms in their relationships, especially if they were contained in a very small space. So I found myself giving people ideas like, you know how your kids built a fort out of sheets and pillows? Do the same thing and go inside that tent in order to have your own separate space. Mm. Even though your partner may be in the room, you can't see them, they can't see you. You've got privacy, just a bit. So that was a very, very stressful time, terrible time. And out of that, because all this stuff was happening at the same time, politics became a huge divider. In this country, of course, people have really polarized. And that's one of the big differences. People have polarized to extreme levels. And if they're on opposite sides of the fence, wow, you know, you can have World War III. And we didn't really have that until 2016, right around there, as the political climate changed. So more polarization. And there's this battle right now between, again, women who are wanting to have a more traditional relationship where the roles are very clearly defined. The woman is staying at home, you know, much more than working. And that's a big shift. Didn't have that as much back in the 80s, 90s, you know, fresh out of feminism when women were going back to work. Another big difference, God, this is amazing, is that men had had affairs, you know, forevermore since God only knows, you know, 3,000 years ago or more. Women now started to have affairs too. And they also realized that they didn't have to stay in relationships that were abusive, right, that were depriving.
They had their own money.
Right. That were very distressing and unhappy. So they left and changed.
Another thing that's been much more negative is that the sense of me has become much more prominent, that I'm important. I have to love myself. And so a very big reason for divorce now that's really new is this marriage doesn't actualize my growth. So it's much more, in a way, anti-relationship oriented. And we're seeing the effects of that sort of me-centeredness really hurting relationships rather than helping. People now all over the world are more likely to go solo, not even want to get married or have relationships or have children. And that's been a real negative effect. The other thing is, you know, these telephones that everybody has in their hand, you know, that have led people to communicate by texting. And people think that they communicate emotion very clearly on in text. And research shows they don't have a clue, you know, how it's taken. And so people are texting and miscommunicating. And, you know, people like Sherry Turkle have been talking about the loss of face-to-face communication skills. The biggest problem in online dating is getting people to actually have a date rather than text. Actually say, let's meet for coffee. Or let's go for a walk. So people are kind of avoiding each other, not talking on the telephone, not seeing each other. The electronics has been really widening the gap between people.
Well, Dr. Julie Schwartz-Gottman, Dr. John Gottman, thank you so much for being here on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Great
this
interview.
Has really been wonderful.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge lo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana ngeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oye.
I got asked a question recently about attracting the wrong guys. This woman said to me, I am constantly attracting the wrong types of guys, and I want to know what it is I'm doing to attract these guys versus the kinds of guys I really want. I'm always immediately skeptical when someone says this. If we really look at the logic of that, the things that attract the wrong guys in the beginning, at the approaching phase, aren't necessarily that different from the things that attract the right guys. If you're a confident, sexy, fun person, you're going to attract men in general, whether they're the wrong or the right guys. So then I have to ask the question, well, why is it then that this person feels like they're attracting more of the wrong guys? And my mind goes to, could it be that this person is giving more of a chance to the wrong types of guys? And I started questioning this woman more, because this is a question I get a lot. And I said to this woman, well, talk to me about some of your relationships. And she started to talk about how she'd been in a couple of long-term relationships that were abusive and where she didn't feel good in the relationship. They made her feel terrible. And that had made her a little gun shy. And she said, I don't want to attract the bad guys. I don't want to attract any of the wrong guys. I said, oh, okay, so this is revealing. Because what I then saw was a woman who, when she found out early on she was seeing warning signs with a guy, ignored them because she just really wanted to be with someone and maybe didn't even feel like she was good enough to attract someone better. It may even be on a deeper level. She didn't feel she deserved more than that. I always say the difference between a high-value woman and a low-value woman isn't that the high-value woman never goes on a date with a bad guy. Any woman in the world has the potential to go on a bad date. The difference is that the low-value woman actually dates bad guys. In other words, there's a difference between going on a date with the wrong guy and dating the wrong guy. Dating implies that you gave that guy another chance, that you saw red flags, you saw warning signs, and decided to keep going down the road with that person anyway. High-value women get really good at cutting off the wrong people early. Get good at moving on quickly. Trust yourself to be able to do that. Now, what does it mean to trust yourself to be able to move on quickly? Well, alongside paying attention to red flags, you also have to have the confidence to say, I know that there are other people out there for me, that I have choice, and that I don't need to settle for this. I don't need to convince myself that this person is better than they really are, just because I'm now close to them and I feel comfortable and it's easier to stick with them than to go and find a new person again. This is about having a level of confidence deep down. I'm talking about a level of confidence where you love and respect yourself so highly that you would rather go through the difficult task of being on your own and finding someone better for as long as that takes, then subject the most wonderful person you've ever known, yourself, to a man who doesn't deserve you. This woman, I don't believe, saw herself as the most wonderful person she'd ever known. And it may be that as I say that, you also think about you and you say, I'm not sure I honestly see myself like that either. And that might be part of the problem, that instead of walking away and saying, I'm such a beautiful and wonderful person that I deserve someone incredible. I'm not going to subject me to somebody like this. When you hear it logically, you're like, yeah, that's me. But when it comes down to it, you don't treat yourself that way. And if that's you, then you know that this isn't just about learning techniques for you at this stage. You know that there's something internal right now that you really want to bring into alignment, that you want to take your confidence to a level where you've really changed your relationship with yourself. Because you can't demand more from other people and you can't get other people to buy into how valuable you are until you've bought into how valuable you are. I have a process that I go through with people 3 times a year and that's it. It's my retreat. And I don't do it very often because it's such a powerful process and it's 5.5 days and it's intense. So it's intense for me too, not just for you. But I do it 3 times a year with an exclusive group of women in beautiful locations. This is a program where I get to the deeper stuff that holds us back in our love lives and in all of our lives. I mean, this is a program not just about your love life, but about everything. But
so at the end of the day, right, we conclude with this: principles are the same. The principles are the same. The principles of grief are the same. The principles of letting go and moving on are the same. You have to look at the foundation. You have to look at who you've been. You have to look at everything. So before you go into the next relationship, before you dive into the love life, before you get new friends, before you get a new job, before you get anything that is new that you are apparently praying for and all of that, ask yourself, is it a test from the devil or is it real? And after you've answered that one, ask yourself if you are ready. ask yourself if you are ready or it's something that you want and you still need to work on it. Ask yourself honestly. And when you answer that honestly, right, then somewhere, somehow, right, it's all going to make sense and it's all going to come together. So from me, the matriarch, I bid you guys a whooping and oh so amazing farewell. I love you forever and a day. Use is important to me. And God bless.